So in meditating on what I should consider for preaching this Sunday, I had several topics, obviously, to consider. We have Valentine's Day. We have Lent about to begin this Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. And then, of course, just the typical readings for the sixth Sunday in ordinary time. And so I was really asking the Lord, is it possible, you know, how can I tie all these things together? And I thought that a good beginning, a good theme to remind you of, something that I've spoken of many times before, is the church's teaching on love. And I don't mean in some generic or theological, mystical sense. I mean just practically speaking, what love is, what it's composed of, and how it's structured. Because we know from Revelation that love comes in three parts, and those parts have a specific order. There's agapic love, which is the highest form. There's filial love, or brotherly love, or friendship love. And then there's erotic love. And all of these loves are love. If you really want a beautiful exegesis on this, you want to read Pope Benedict XVI's first encyclical called Deus Caritas Est, or God is Love. And one of the things he points out, which wasn't always understood in the history of the church, is that God's love is not just agapic love, which is selfless love. Obviously it is. It's not just that, but it's all forms of love. So it's filial love and it's erotic love. And it's important to understand this, otherwise we won't understand love properly. So what's the simple distinction between these three types of love? Well, erotic love is the lowest, most base form of love. It's not bad, it's good. It's holy, as long as it's rightly ordered. And the easiest definition is, it is the desire to possess something. That's the kind of love it is. So when you really, really love pizza, honestly, you want to eat, you want to be one with the pizza. You want to eat the pizza, right? That's erotic love. When you want to buy a car and you really, really like that car, and you want to own that car, that's erotic love. People think it's always sexual, but that's not true. It's simply the desire to possess someone or something. And as long as it's ordered correctly in the hierarchy of loves, it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. God, according to Pope Benedict, actually loves us erotically, meaning he wants us. He doesn't need us, but that's the beauty of it. He wants us, and he wants us to be with him. But that's only the lowest form of his love, as it should be for each one of us when we consider loves. Then you have above it filial love, brotherly love. This is love for another person, and this is a love of equals. It's a very specific type of love. It's basically, I'll love you if you love me. You could almost call it contractual love. We both have our obligations, and we try to love each other equally in that regard. God also wants to love us with filial love. Even though he's infinitely greater than we are, he wants to raise us up so that we can have a more equal loving relationship. Even Jesus says to the apostles, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Because you've done what I commanded of you. So it's this desire to have an equal relationship with someone else. That's filial love or brotherly love. And that's a very important type of love because it has to be reciprocal. When you love something erotically, the pizza doesn't love you back, does it? No. There's no return of love necessarily. It's merely your self-interest in the thing that you love or the person that you love. It's pure self-interest. Filial love is mutual self-interest. I'm loving you, you're loving me. Agapic love is the highest, and this is selfless love or disinterested love. So even if I get nothing out of my love for you, I still give you love. So that's the highest and most perfect form of love. So having these loves rightly ordered in ourselves is how we conform to love himself. God is love. And anything that disorders these three loves is ultimately demonic because it's contrary to love, to God. So when push comes to shove, when you're loving another human being, ultimately, as the Lord teaches us, agapic love or disinterested love has to be the greatest form. And you hear this in our second reading. St. Paul is mentioning this, you know, when he's talking about how he seeks to never give offense to anyone, Jews or Greeks or the church. And he says he tries to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many. See, that's agapic love. He says, I'm trying to do what's best for everyone, not what's best for me, not my benefit, but what benefits everyone else. That's agapic love, and that's what's motivating, ultimately, all of his choices. That doesn't mean he doesn't have filial love and erotic love. All of us do. God is love. But he's always first motivated by selfless love, disinterested love. So what gets in the way of being conformed to God in this proper hierarchy of loves? Well, it's when we place a lower love above a greater love. You can place erotic love above filial love or above agapic love, or filial love above agapic love, either way. And when you disorder the proper ordering, then you're not loving. It's really that simple. It's not love at all. It's sin. It's displeasing to God. So how do we reorder ourselves? How do we reorient love in our lives? And the key actually is obviously the grace of Jesus Christ. I always take that for granted. The sacraments, the grace of Christ. But the practical key that we have to consider is penance. Doing penance, which is what we're about to enter into during Lent, is actually necessary for reorienting love. Properly speaking, anytime that I'm failing to love my brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's filial love or agapic love, it's usually because of some erotic love that I have, some lesser love that's getting in the way. For example, let's say a child or a spouse keeps waking you up very early in the morning and you're not getting enough sleep. And you start becoming very agitated and angry and snapping at them. Now, I'm not saying that's not understandable, but notice that your bodily desire for sleep, this desire to possess sleep, to have it, because you love it and you like it and you need it and you want it, is greater than your love for the other. And so that's what leads you to sin against the other in that moment when you're irritated and put out. Or if somebody eats the last piece of cake, right, and you really wanted it, and you're angry. It was cake. Get over it, right? I mean, honestly, that person is a far greater value than cake. Now, maybe they shouldn't have taken it. Fine. It may have been a sin that they took it. That's between them and the Lord. But that doesn't give us the right to sin, to love them less. So the only reason I would get angry is because in that moment, I love the cake more than I love them. That's disordered. That's disordered. That's an erotic love over at least a filial love, but certainly over an agapic love. So to fight these disordered loves in my nature because of sin, I have to fast and do penance. That's why the season of Lent is so important, because the key to Lent is not adding things to your life, like saying, okay, I'm going to pray an extra rosary, I'm going to go to Mass an extra time during the week. That is not the purpose of the penance during Lent. So if that's all that you're planning to do, you need to, I mean, you should be doing that anyway, right? Most of you who want to add something as a penance already know you should be doing that. That's not a penance. A penance is removing something. It's giving something up. It's denying some type of basic desire. And the saints and the fathers teach us that the more basic the desire, the better the penance. So that's why classic penances are always food and drink first, because those are the most basic desires that humans have. Then you have things like sleep, getting up earlier. That would be a good penance. Things like comfort, you could sleep on the floor or take cold showers. Those are really good penances. But any type of bodily penance where you're denying yourself some type of erotic love, that's what it is. It's not bad. It's just base. And why do we call it base? It's because animals have that kind of love. Even animals love that way, but they can't love filially or agapically. So we have to learn to master that animal instinct by denying it. Now you may say to me, Father Miller, well, but whenever I have that kind of craving and I satisfy it, then I overcome the craving. If I really want a piece of cake and then I eat the cake, I don't want cake anymore. So isn't that the best way to get over an erotic love or desire, is to satisfy it? And this is the tricky thing about our nature. And all you have to do is compare your body, as I have before, as I've stolen from the saints, to a dog. Your body is like any animal, really. And when your dog wants a treat, and you give it a treat, every time it wants a treat, what's going to happen? It's going to start expecting a treat every time it wants one. And what happens the one time you don't give it a treat? Not going to be very happy, is it? Yeah, it'll bark. That's right. He may even bite. Because he's used to getting what he wants. In fact, he'll start wanting treats more often. And more treats at a time. One won't do it. Where do you think addiction comes from? It's only giving in to those more base desires, and the body doesn't ever become satisfied. It always wants more. So the only way to master those base desires is actually to deny them fulfillment, not to fulfill them. But that's the struggle, isn't it? It's constantly saying no to those desires, at least in some way. That's why Lent is such an important season. And so during this season, you need to consider what you're going to deny yourself, not what you're going to add to your schedule. And pray about that. You have a few more days. Ask your guardian angel to help you figure out the best thing. But once we learn to deny these more base desires, by the grace of Jesus Christ in the sacraments, it becomes far more easy to reorient our loves and to love selflessly. Anybody who does penance on a regular schedule, regular basis, notices how they get better at loving, just automatically. Because of the grace of Christ, it's able to work more clearly. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that grace builds on nature. Penance corrects the disordered nature, therefore grace can do more work. Now, in the gospel, we see Jesus healing this leper. We see this miracle that he performs. Now, nobody's surprised that he performs a miracle. He's the Son of God. But let's look at miracles in regards to the saints. Why, or how, I should say, do saints perform or obtain so many great graces and miracles from God? It's because their love is always properly oriented. Their love is always conformed to love itself. And so whenever they desire something, their love is in conformity with the love of God. And guess what? They get what they ask for. That's why it works. You want your prayers to be heard more quickly? You have to conform your love to that of the truth through penance, through the sacraments. And then you'll even begin to see more miracles in your life. You will pray and things will happen because your mind and your heart will be oriented according to the mind and the heart of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.